This is a Bible teaching podcast from www.lumen.org.uk. That's lumin.org.uk. The presenter is Jeff Lumley.
Hello, and this is the first of a brand new series called the 12 Hours Course, which is a course I developed and ran at my previous church and at another church a few years ago. Then lockdown came along and COVID stopped everything, and then I moved and I haven't had the opportunity to run it since. So I thought I would put it onto this series of podcasts. It's 12 sessions. They were designed to be an hour long, a talk and then discussions. So the talks aren't an hour long. And it looks at various themes that run through the Bible and explores them through the Bible, starting with creation. Then we'll look at human beings, the fall, gardens and rivers, the flood, Babylon, calling, covenant, blessings, failure, the Messiah, ending with the kingdom. And the idea is that once you get to that, you come back to start thinking about creation and you would run through the ideas of the 12 hours again. So you could almost start anywhere and finish anywhere with this course. And each one is designed to be standalone. You don't need to have done number one in order to understand number two, and so on. There was a PowerPoint with it. It's a live, these are live talks you're going to hear. There's a PowerPoint with it, which I've made as a set of PDF slides, and in the description you'll be able to download those PDFs if you want them. So, the 12 Hours Course.
For those who don't know me, I am Jeff. I have lived in Alberton in Wembley all my life. I'm a member of a church called St. James, which is the local parish church, although you wouldn't recognise it as such if you went there, because it's a very Asian church, really, a very white minority. I was a maths teacher and later on an audiovisual technician. I worked in two schools in Ealing. And when I was at Twyford, I became lay chaplain and led the fellowship group and learnt most of what I teach here by kids asking me lots of questions and I had to go and find out the answers. The way I planned to do this is to do a sort of lecture for 20 to 30 minutes and then have a discussion group to round off the hour. Okay, so that's what we'll do. It's past 7:30, so we should be finished by 8:30. That's the plan. If people come in dribs and drabs all the way through and I have to restart every 5 minutes, who knows what will happen. So there are 12 hours and they are, as far as possible, standalone. So there is a flow that goes through it, but if you miss one or you only come to the odd one or two, you should find that of interest as it is. And they are themes which flow through scripture. So often in church, in a sermon, we look with almost a magnifying glass at a small thing, a small part of scripture. But this is to try to see how the Bible fits together, taking these themes as as the things we look at. And we're going to start then with creation. And as it says on the top of your sheet, who, why, what, when, how are the questions we're really asking about creation. And to start with, I want to show you this picture. It's obviously a composite picture of satellite images of the Earth, because the Earth isn't always in dark at the same time, but it's taking night shots of the Earth and putting them together. And what it is a picture of where artificial light shines out into space. But when I look at that, I also think where that artificial light is where the gospel is rejected most on our planet today. The places which can't see the heavens are the places which, to a large extent, have turned their backs on the Creator and don't believe in a Creator and don't believe in God. Because the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And yet here we have people who, in our society, who deliberately forget that by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. So creation has been forgotten. Let's ask some questions about creation. Who is the Creator? Well, on the front page of your notes, there are a number of Bible verses that give an answer to that. And all the Bible passages we look at will be on your notes that I give you each week. So I'm not saying don't bring a Bible, but we won't be ruffling through Bibles every night. So Genesis 5:1, God created, when God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. Isaiah 40, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host, one by one, and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power, they were created. Later in Isaiah, it is I, says God, who made the earth and created mankind on it. Colossians 1, in him, in Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. And then Revelation 4, it says, God created is what we've seen. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. So God is the Creator, but I've got a question for you. Is it God the Father, or God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit who created? Sorry? All of them. Are we agreed? Yeah. It says in the Bible, God the Father created. You, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. It says the Son created. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, things in heaven and on earth. For in him all things were created. And it says in the Bible that the Holy Spirit is the Creator. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life, said Job. So all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity is the Creator. God is the Creator, as the Bible says at the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the Creator. And we see in this Trinity, we see in it the Father, we see in it the Son, and we see it the Holy Spirit. And those three words, I think, help us to understand how the Trinity creates. Because we know that God created through the Word. He said, let there be, and there was. Now, how do you say a word? Well, the first thing is, you have to have intelligence to create that word in your brain that you're going to speak, even though you do that without really thinking about it. In order for someone else to hear that word, there has to be breath. You have to breathe out and do things with your mouth to form the word, and then the word goes forth. And we see that in God. We have God, who, if you like, God the Father, is the intelligence that, and again, with any image, you're always going to have things which don't quite make it true of God. This is an analogy, but God is the one that forms the word. The Spirit, the Ruach of God, is breathed out to carry that word into the world, and the Word himself is Jesus. So we see the Trinity working through the speech, the breath, and the Word. God created. The Trinity is seen in creation. The Trinity is seen in each of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Although they are three, they are three in one, indivisible. And in him, Jesus, as we saw, is all the fullness of the Godhead. So everything about God is seen in Jesus. Jesus is the way God shows himself to us. And we will look at that at other points in the course. So the answer of the question, who is the Creator, is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Trinity, three in one. He is the Creator. Why did he create? What reason was it that God created? And we're now on page 2. And Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, he created for his glory. The reason for creation is that God might be glorified. That is the basic bottom line of why he created. And if you look on the top of page 2, you will see another group of verses which tell us how they bring him glory. So, created to bring glory to God, Isaiah 45:18, to fill and inhabit the earth for God to be glorified. Ephesians 2, we are God's handiwork, created to do good works. Why do we need to do good works? For God to get the glory. Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. So God requires us to reflect him so that he might be glorified, because God created for his glory. Back in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 27, it says, God created us in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So we were created for his glory. We were created in the image of God. We failed. And we will look at that in other weeks. Ultimately, it had to be a man that succeeded, and that was Jesus. And we'll look more at this in hours 2 and hours 7, but that's my answer to why. Why? For God to get the glory. What did God create? Well, this is down towards the bottom of page 2. God created everything, the entire physical realm, but he also created what we can't see, the spiritual realm, the invisible and the visible. He created all things. And what we're going to see as we look through Genesis chapter 1 is a picture of everything God created. So there are extracts of Genesis 1 at the bottom of page 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the entire universe was created by God. God said, let there be light. There was light. Let there be a vault between the waters to separate them from water from water. And God called the vault sky. So this is the atmosphere has come in. God has created, if you like, the tank we live in. Not that we're pets, but it gives you something of a sort of picture. He then says, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let dry ground appear, and let the land produce vegetation. So plant life, and the sea all comes in. Then God made two great lights, one to govern the day, the sun, the lesser to govern the night, and he made the stars. The plants were there, and the moon is there. And then it says, God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about upon it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. So God creates all of the sea life and the bird life, and then he creates the wild animals, and finally he creates human beings. So we have that God made everything that is visible. But it says the visible and the invisible. So God also created the heavenly realm, the invisible realm, invisible to our eyes. Psalm 148 says, praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his heavenly hosts, praise him, sun, moon, praise him, all your shining stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created. So what we have there is angels, invisible spiritual beings, all the heavenly hosts, the entire company that lives in heaven, created by God, and the sun and the moon and the stars, and they were created to give him honor and to give him glory and to worship him. On your sheet, but not on the screen, there's Nehemiah right towards the top of page 3. And Nehemiah is praising God and saying, you, only you, are Lord alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are in it, the sea and all that is in it, and you preserve them all, and the host of heaven worships thee. And that word host simply means multitude, organized multitude, not acting as individuals, but acting in a corporate way, such as we do when we sing a hymn in church, that we come together and we worship God together. Even Satan and the demons were created by God. Why? Well, that's not the subject for tonight. It's just to know that Satan is just a created being. He is not an all-powerful being. He is simply an angel that chose to rebel. And the passage of Ezekiel 28 there is often taken to be a description of what happened with Satan. That he was in the garden, he was adorned with precious stones, and he turned away. That last paragraph, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you, and then you were driven out. We will look more deeply into those things when we come to hour 3 on the fall. So, what was created? Well, actually, only God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exists without having been created. Everything else was created by God. And that's what the Bible teaches. It's in complete contradiction to what modern philosophy teaches, that God wasn't involved. So in a summary of all of this, God created the world, God created the universe, God created all vegetation, God created all sea creatures, God created all winged creatures, God created all land creatures, God created all heavenly beings, God created human I'm sorry. There is an elephant in the room which I'm avoiding. When and how? This is the stuff that Christians don't agree with each other over, but we're going to look at it because we have to. When and how did God create? So this is the back page. And if you don't remember anything else from tonight, please remember this bit. Don't use the E word. Christians use the E word all the time, and it confuses people. The E word is evolution. Imagine this. Here we have your new pastor here at Oldfield preaching to his flock, or her flock, but it's a he in the picture. I'm not predicting what it will be when you finally get one. And he says, we know that evolution is how God made the world. Now, he's using that word in a very Christian sense. God made the world through the process of evolution, just calling it evolution. Well, what happens? Later in the week, little Johnny is in school, and the teacher says evolution is by chance, there's no creating power, there's no design, it's all random forces. And Johnny thinks, oh, but Pastor says evolution is true. And teacher says evolution doesn't involve God. And then maybe Thursday night, Mrs. Brown is sitting at home watching television, and something on television says, evolution is by chance, there's no need for a creator. And what happens next Sunday? Where are they all? Because by using the word evolution, they've been taught God doesn't get involved. So I'm saying, try not. No, I'm not. I'm saying definitely do not use the E word. We have creation at one end, which is 6 literal days, God made the world, biff, bam, bomb. We have evolution at the other end, which is over billions of years without God involved. There were random chances which produced us. In the middle, we have this thing which Christians talk about, and the proper name for it is theistic evolution, but it involves that word evolution, and because no one knows what theistic means anyway. No one says it, so we just talk about evolution. Can we not rename that middle one slow creation? Because then we're talking about creation. And instead of confusing ourselves, we're saying we believe in creation. And I think just actually the process of not using that evolution word is a very significant thing to do. And personally, I'm not even going to use it when I talk about what the scientists say, because we know it's baloney. This isn't, hasn't, couldn't possibly have all come about by chance. So I call that one monkey business. And we know that's not true, so we're not going to think about it anymore. The question, though, is, did God create the world through creation or slow creation? Now, this course is about the Bible and what we can learn from the Bible and how we can stand on what the Bible says. Too often, Christians listen to what the world says and tries to fit the Bible into it. I say we need to look at what the Bible says and then fit the world into it. And the God who wrote the Bible and the God who made the world are one and the same. So if we view them properly, they should agree. The way we see the Bible and the way we see the world should be in perfect harmony. Now, I'm going to tell you why I don't believe in slow creation, but this is only tonight we're talking about it, and if you disagree with me, it won't make any difference to the rest of the course, but I'm doing it mostly to show you how I use the Bible. So, here is a picture of creation. It's a timeline from when the world was formed until now. And most slow creationists will say, looking at the Bible, looking at the clues we get in the Bible, that period of time is about 6,000 years from the beginning until now. If there are 365 days in a year, I know there aren't exactly, we can argue about hours and minutes extra, but if there's 365 days in the year, and you multiply that by 6,000, you get roughly 2 million days. So roughly 2 million days from the beginning to now. And the Bible, Genesis chapter 1-2, says, on the sixth day, Adam was made, which puts the appearance of Adam round about the beginning of that timeline. One picture. Let's look at the second picture. Well, the timeline is exactly the same length. Because if I'm wrong about 6,000 years, I'm wrong. It hasn't changed how long the world's been around. The timeline is the same length. There was a fixed beginning and there is a now. That is how long it's been. Most people who believe in slow creation will say that's been 4,500 million years. 4.5 billion, to use the modern version of the word billion. And they say that human beings appeared on the earth about 500,000 years ago, most of them say. Some will go for that they were sort of proto-humans 1 million years ago. Either way, that puts the appearance of human beings at that end of the timeline. Those are the two pictures. Now let's look at what the Bible says. Firstly, John chapter 14, verse 6. Anyone want to tell me what that says? Without reading it? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now it's interesting. If he'd said, I speak the truth, we would allow him to be wrong. Because you can speak the truth and find out later you were wrong and then just correct yourself. He didn't. He said, I am the standard by which truth is measured. In Amos, it talks about a plumb line. I am the standard by which truth is measured. I am the truth. Earlier in John, chapter 1, verse 3, it says that all things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So we're now being told that Jesus is the standard of truth and he did the creating stuff. And then we go to Matthew. And in Matthew, Jesus speaks in Matthew 19:4. Does anyone want to tell me what that one says? He's talking about divorce and explaining what God's heart is about divorce, and he says to them, haven't you heard that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? In another translation, at the beginning of creation he made them male and female. I look at those two pictures and I do my best to make the second one fit that, but I can't. So one reason, I have others, but one reason why I can't accept slow creation is because Jesus said God made human beings at the beginning of creation. Now, I said if we look at the Bible correctly and we look at nature, science, the physical world correctly, they will agree. I'm not a scientist. I have put onto the website, which I'll talk about at the end, links to YouTube videos of scientists who believe in creation, not slow creation, and explain lots of the difficult things that seem to come from that. What about dinosaurs? What about this? What about that? And so you can look at that. But that's my reason, or one of them. I've also got others, and I've also put that on the website as well. And it's just something to bear and hold because it's about how we use the Bible. Are we going to try and fit that because we know that slow creation is true because we've been taught it at school for donkey's years? Or are we going to say, well, actually, maybe the Bible has to come first?
The music is by graceforall.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening.